Thank you for your prayer. Even though you didn't see me for 3 weeks, I had been around. I was present in one evangelism campaign for 2 Sabbaths and the whole week in Leominster Hispanic Church. After that, we moved to Framingham Hispanic Church for 1 more week. That is amazing to be occupied in God's work. Yeah, because that shapes your mind always, the whole way. You need to be thinking in God's work and how reach other people for God. You know, in the way that you try to help others, in the same way you are helping yourself. That is amazing. Thank you for your prayer. Brother Paul, happy birthday, brother. God bless you. I think so. Yeah, it's plugged. You see ya? Okay, thank you, Jim. That is the topic that we will be presenting today, the race of the faith. The race of the faith. I would like to invite you to pray before our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessing. Thank you because you have taken care of everybody here. You love us so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this message. And over everything, thank you for your love. Thank you for the hope that we have. Please be with us. Open our mind. Open our heart in some way that we can listen your voice today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we see Hebrews chapter 11, we can find that Hebrews chapter 11 presents a cloud of witness. How did ruin the race of the faith? How they achieve the final goal? How they persevere moving forward? Why they move forward every time? Because they look in the goal. They was always sinking, even though sometimes the road is hard, but we need to move forward. Because in the end, we can receive our reward. After the apostle present that gallery of the hero in Hebrews chapter 11, then he encouraged us to run the same race. In other way, in Hebrews chapter 11, the reader, they are watching other running. But after that, he said, in the same way that they run, you need to run also. Now, you are not only a spectator. You are not sit down in the stadium. You are where? In the trash. That is the message that Hebrews chapter 11. You need to raise. You need to run the race of the faith.
The race of faith. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen. You know, today I have a special reader. My dear Amanda. Okay. Like I said before, Hebrew had concluded his gallery of faith hero in Hebrew 12, chapter, verse 1 through 3. The scenario change. Amanda, do you can read, please?
Hebrews has concluded its galaxy of faith heroes in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. The scene rapidly shifts to a Greco-Roman racetrack. Now, instead of witnessing the exploits of their forefathers in the faith, the readers of Hebrews find themselves in the race of faith. Rather than being spectators, they've become participants, with the heroes of faith now watching them.
Before we watched them, but now they are watching you, Yuri. They are watching you.
Craig Koster points out that the author invites hearers to envision a stadium in which Abel, Enoch, and Noah stand along the track with Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, the judges, the prophets, and the martyrs. The striking imagery is designed to transform listeners' participation of their situation from one in which they are, help me.
Beleaguered.
Thank you. Beleaguered victims, to one in which they are vigorous contestants who can hope to participate in the festive gatherings in God's city.
Amen.
Thus, there's a sense in which the faith heroes of chapter 11 have not only witnessed to the faith, but also encourage a new generation of spiritual runners, a great cloud of witnesses supporting them in the race of faith.
Amen. They were faithful, yes? They finished the race. They are also already prepared for receive the reward. And now they are saying, Mona Lisa, like we did, you need to do. If we were success, also you can be, you became success too. Yeah. That is the image that we can receive from this portion of the Bible. The message is you need to be faithful. You need to stay running the race of the faith. Don't give up. Don't give up because you can do. Not by yourself, but through the God grace working in your life.
Beyond being witnesses, every Christian also has a goal. We are pilgrims who know our destination. With single-minded focus, we run toward the goal of Christ and of becoming like him. In a similar passage, Paul writes that he himself was in mid-course in life's race. He acknowledges that he had not yet reached the goal, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen. No matter what, how long we had been running, we had not finished yet. Amen?
Amen.
When one runner he's looking back, where are they looking for? Forward, forward. No matter what, how long you have been running, you have not finished yet. We have not finished yet. For that reason, we need to receive every day the strength to be renewed in some way that we can stay running the race of the faith.
But the good news is that the race of faith, unlike the Greco-Roman games, does not have just one winner and many losers. In the Christian race, God declares every person who perseveres until the end a winner. Here, the one who wins is not the one who arrives the fastest, but all those who keep running until the end.
Amen. We are not in competition, one against other. We all had the same goal. And we all have the same cheerleader. Who is our cheerleader?
Jesus.
Jesus is our cheerleader. He said, don't give up, stay faithful, move forward, don't give up. I am with you. The big question, the main question is what? What we need to do for being successful in the race of the faith. What we need to do today?
Run with patience. Biblical patience is not immobility, but trust, faith, and perseverance. During the race, we may grow tired, but we must persevere.
Yes, sometimes we will get so tired, depressed. And the enemy can say, yeah. But Jesus said, no. Move forward. We need to run with passion.
Christ is not only every Christian's goal in life. Christ is not only.
Jim. Amanda doesn't have a sound.
Test.
Testing? Perfect.
It's coming and going is what's happening.
Yeah, thank you.
Christ is not only every Christian's goal in life. He is also our example. Jesus set a demanding standard in the race of faith. He did not allow people, institutions, or events to distract him. Instead, he demonstrated steadfast perseverance even more faithfully than the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11.
Amen. Ellen G. White said that when Jesus was in Gethsemane, Satan said, you will give your life for those people, those kind of people? Look, Peter, he will betray you. Look, Judah, Peter will deny you. Judah will be betrayed for you. Look, all them, Don't you want to gain your life all day? Why Jesus say, yes, no matter what, I am already to finish my race onto the cross.
Christ, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame in Hebrews 12:2, and ran on to victory. The hostility of others did not shake him. Rather, his focus was on God's approval, not on human acceptance.
The multitude has said to him, you are an impostor? Yeah. You are not real Messiah? Who was there? Darkness, force, they were trying to destroy him, but he persevered. He persevered.
At mile 25 of the Boston Marathon, her legs gave out. She didn't stop. She scooted and crawled the last 1.2 miles while the entire crowd cheered her to the finish line.
Did you see? That was amazing. 1 mile, 1.2 mile.
These runners push themselves.
Why she did that? With pain, with everything, but she finished the race. She reached the finish line. Sometimes we like her. With pain, suffering, but don't give up. Don't give up. Be faithful, stay running, because in the end, there is a wonderful reward.
Number two, determination and self-discipline. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Corinthians 9:24 to 27. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal. Philippians 3 to 14.
Determination, no? Determination. Don't give up. We need to finish the race. We need to reach the finish line.
Three, helping and motivating others. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up.
Yeah, because the goal is not that I can achieve my goal. The goal is not that I can reach the finish line, because that is selfish, yes? In the spiritual life, not only me, but I need to say you, be faithful, be faithful, be faithful, be faithful. Stay running the race.
As we run, we must encourage one another. The race of faith is not a solitary race focused only on ourselves. We must help others reach the finish line.
Amen. We are a team. We are a family, and nobody must be left behind. That means if we know that somebody is in some situation, we cannot stay running. Forget it. That doesn't matter. No. We need to support each other. We need to help each other. Maybe you saw the video. For me, it was very powerful impact, made powerful impact. That was a last week, no, this week, Monday, the Marathon of Boston. Look, some detail.
As Aaron Beggs approached the final stretch during the 130th Boston Marathon, the runner Ajay Hardarsi was struggling and made the split-second decision to stop and help. Alongside Robeson de Oliveira, he supported Hardarsi, crossing the finish line. Despite the delay, Beggs still finished.
You can see the guy with the white shirt. Excuse me, Amanda.
It's okay, no problem.
He's point A. Where? Try to. Again. He held the guy, and also he's pointing out where the finish line. Even though we cannot listen, but I can imagine that he say, "Don't give up, don't give up. We are almost there. We are almost there." The question is, that video represent what we are supposed to do? Maybe somebody is not here because it's how. Yeah. What we need to do. How many people pass next to the guy? Because they were thinking only in them, no? But two good Samaritans stay. Because for them, the more important is not be faster. For them, the most important is that help the other guy to reach the final line, the finish line. That represents the gospel, the spiritual life. The more important is not that you are okay. That is good. I am okay. That is good. But also, we need to think in our brothers, in our sisters. Because Jesus said, we need to support one. We need to help one other. Look around you. Think in some people that maybe is not coming to the church. So something happened. But we can say, put your head in my shoulder, and we will be moving together. I am with you. I am with you. I will not leave you behind. That is the message. Secondly, number four.
Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. The only way we can successfully complete the race of faith is by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus.
Only fixing our eyes in Jesus.
Aphora.
Aphora is a Greek word. Aphora is a Greek, very special Greek word. You can find that word just one time in the New Testament. And the message, the meaning of that word is that you must to fix your eyes only in one specific point. You cannot be watching around, moving around. No. Fix your eyes in one point. Like the, how say?
Sharpshooter or a sniper?
The sniper? We need to fix our eyes. Not in our house, not in our title, not in our account, neither in our own problem. Our eyes must be fixed where? In Jesus. Always, always fixing our eyes in Jesus.
Forgetting everything else and focusing on one specific point, we have a goal. We know where we're going, and we must keep our eyes on our final destination. Jesus runs alongside us, and many times will have to carry us. He will be our refuge and strength. It is my prayer that at the end of our lives, all of us may say, like the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness.
Amen. That is our goal, no?
Let us run with determination the race of faith as we move toward the finish line. There's a city waiting for you and a father who longs to embrace you. Our arrival at the finish line will bring about a glorious celebration in the kingdom of God. It will be a festive gathering, a celebration of all celebrations. Without doubt, it will be the wedding supper of the Lamb.
Yeah. That is our goal, no? That is our finish line.
Just like the believers of the first century, we must know that even though the path may be difficult, there's a city waiting for us, the heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen. Do you believe that? There is a city waiting for us. Our Heavenly Father is waiting for you. For me, that will be a huge gathering. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.
That glorious and festive gathering is still in the future, yet our names have already been written down as citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem. God has recorded our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here on earth, we're strangers and pilgrims. Just like Abraham, but there'll be a distinguished citizens.
Amen.
There. Hebrews 12:21-24 assures us that someday Christians will no longer be treated as foreigners. They are registered as citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem with all the rights, responsibilities, and honors.
Amen. The question is good idea to try to finish the race, no matter what the pain. Any challenge, we need to persevere.
Therefore,
only for the time, I love this portion of the Revelation. Amanda, do you can read?
Sure.
We all can read.
Revelation 7, 9 to 14. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Lord, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Who are those? Who are those? They are the faithful crooner. Some of them are right here. We pay. We song challenge, but he was faithful. She was faithful. And now he's here. No more pain, no more suffering. Here in the finish line. Brothers and sisters, we need to be faithful. We need to run the race of the faith. Don't look here, don't look there. Look where? In Jesus. Fix your eyes in Jesus. God is expecting to receive us in the New Jerusalem. Everything is prepared for that huge celebration. Please, we don't need, we are supposed not only to think in ourselves, we need to think in our brother, in our sister. Encourage one other. Encourage, motivate one other. Please, take some time this afternoon for call somebody and say, we need to be faithful. We need to finish the race. We need to finish the race. We need to finish. Ah, no, one brother treat me in this way. I don't want to go to the church. No, no, forget that. We need to finish the race. We need to finish the race. God is waiting for us. God bless you. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you, Pastor. And before our closing hymn, which we're going to welcome our sister, we're unable to do it last time. We might do the benediction.